For centuries and centuries, we've been fascinated by the night sky. So as we relax into the summer months, we decided we'd spend a little time taking a look at what we'll see when we look up at the summer night sky here in Michigan. Michael Narlock joins us now. He's head of astronomy at the Cranbrook Institute of Science. Hi, Michael.
How are you?
Very, very well, and ready to talk stars with you. But before we get into what there is to see in Michigan summer skies, I want to ask you if you're willing to share a little bit of private information. Where do you go when you want to look at the summer stars at night? And I'm talking about outside, not an observatory or planetarium.
Well, if you really want to see the nighttime sky as it's meant to be seen, the best place to go is probably the Upper Peninsula. There are very few city lights to contend with, and you'll see above you 6 to 10,000 stars in a pitch black environment, and it's awe inspiring.
It is. What kind of suggestions, if we will, do's or don'ts, do you give people who want to begin to understand and appreciate what they're looking at when they stargaze?
Well, probably the first thing that we tell them is don't invest in a telescope right away. Don't spend money on a high-end piece of equipment before you really know whether or not it's going to be something you're interested in. The best thing to do if you really want to get acquainted with the nighttime sky is join a local astronomy club. There you'll engage with veteran amateur astronomers who have been at this for 20, 30, 40 years, and they'll have telescopes that you can use. And you'll sort of go in at the ground floor to gain an appreciation of the nighttime sky. And you'll get a quick understanding of whether or not it's something you're willing to devote the time, energy, and resources to do.
You are an astronomer, so you are a professional in this. What do you think of the apps that are available for our smartphones? I've got the one that's called the Night Sky. Is that fairly reliable where you hold it up and it says, hey, guess what you're looking at?
Yeah, I mean, they're fairly reliable. I've not run across one that's been terrifically out of date or has the positions wrong. They all have their pros and cons, and you know, it's up to the individual user to determine which one they like best. But apps, for the most part, are a wonderful way, especially with smartphone apps, are a wonderful way for people to engage in the nighttime sky with something they can just click on. Now, the drawback, though, of using a smartphone is, by its very nature, when you turn it on, the screen illuminates your face, and it sort of ruins your night vision. So you're getting a sort of a poor man's planetarium experience when you use one of those apps.
At least I must say I find it kind of cool to be able to identify something other than the Big and Little Dipper, because I think for most of us it kind of stops with that.
pretty much does. People can readily identify the moon.
Yeah.
But you know, they are great tools when you see a bright dot in the sky in determining, is that a planet? Is it a bright star? They're wonderful for that.
I'm speaking with Michael Narlock. He's head of astronomy at the Cranbrook Institute of Science, and we are going to take a look now and talk about the skies themselves, and as we head into the summer months, what can we enjoy looking at in the skies in the Northern Hemisphere, and what's taking center stage in Michigan? So what are you excited about seeing over the summer in Michigan, Michael?
Saturn. Saturn's going to be in our early evening sky, and it is, of all the planets in the solar system, it is the one that captivates young and old alike. Because you see pictures of it in books or magazines or on television, and it has those wonderful rings. But when you look at Saturn through even a modest telescope, you can see those rings for yourself. A little bit more powerful telescope, you can actually see one of the moons of Saturn. It's just an amazing object to look at through a telescope, because you can actually see the rings around the planet.
If you don't have a telescope, does Saturn stand out as far as being bright?
Yeah. All the planets, the big ones, they tend to be brighter than the stars that they're around. So if you go out around 10 o'clock or so and look towards the south, you will definitely see a bright dot in the southern sky, and that would be the planet Saturn. It'll look a little yellowish, had a little bit of a yellowish tinge to it.
Ah, all right. And what else is going to be happening in the summer?
Well, unfortunately, the other planets are sort of clustered around the sun right now. Towards the end of the summer, Jupiter will be joining us in the morning sky, and that's a great one to look at because you can see actual features on its surface, these bands of gas that stretch across the surface. You can also see four of its 60-some-odd moons that encircle it. for those who are fans of the University of Michigan, there's actually a star called Albireo. It's in the constellation or an asterism called the Summer Triangle, and we call it, here at Cranbrook, we call it the U of M star because it's actually two stars in orbit around each other, and one of them is a gold color and the other one's a blue color.
Oh, very cool. And again, you can kind of get that even without a microscope or a telescope, right, as far as the sense of the color.
No, you need a telescope to see the color, but you can find the star certainly with just your eyes. But if you use even a small telescope, you can easily resolve them into two little dots of differing colors.
Now, I understand we should make a mark on our calendars to pay attention to some meteors around mid-August.
Yep, there's a meteor shower that happens every year. Meteor showers generally happen the same time year every year, and August is definitely a good one. I don't know if it's going to be a shower, which means you'll have maybe 30 or 40 an hour that you'll see, or a storm, which means you could see hundreds and hundreds of meteors streaking across the sky in an hour's time. So it's a little bit hard to predict meteor showers. Predicting them is a lot like predicting the weather. It's at the end of the day, it's really a gamble.
And then when we talk about the Milky Way, Michael, what is this, if we're standing outside and if we're lucky enough to be in the Upper Peninsula, is it just that huge burst? Is that the Milky Way, that broad band, or where do we look?
Well, the Milky Way galaxy, when you talk about the Milky Way, they are referring to that stretch of what looks like a cloud stretching across the sky. But in truth, except for a few objects, everything you see in the nighttime sky is a part of the Milky Way galaxy. The stars that we can see that appear as pinpoints are just stars that happen to be close enough or bright enough to us that they appear that way. Stars that are much further away, our eyes have trouble resolving them into individual dots, and instead their light sort of mushes all together, and we perceive that as this big stretch of clouds across the nighttime sky, which we have called the Milky Way.
What about any dates that we should mark down for good watching in the sky?
Well, I'm gonna give you some dates that aren't in the summertime, but they bear mentioning because it could quite possibly be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Beginning in November, probably through January or February, we have a comet in the sky. It's called ISON, I-S-O-N, and it has the potential of being a comet that you can see with just your eyes alone. You won't even need a telescope. It'll be, for us, in sort of the end of the year, it'll be an early morning object, so you'll have to get up after midnight to see it. But it will hopefully, if the predictions hold true, be bright enough that you'll be able to see it with just your eyes alone.
How about the Northern Lights?
The Northern Lights. Well, we are entering into an active phase for our sun. And you might wonder, what does the sun have to do with Northern Lights? Well, the Northern Lights are actually caused by the sun. The sun will erupt, sending billions of tons of charged particles into the solar system. When those charged particles hit the Earth's magnetic field, they follow along the lines of the magnetic field and dump off their energy. And we perceive that here on planet Earth as these shimmering clouds of light, which we call the Northern Lights, or they also have them in the south called the Southern Lights. And we aren't able to predict them, but we do know that it takes about 2 days, 3 days or so for the particles to go from the sun to the Earth. So when we monitor the sun and we see one of these big eruptions, we can predict that perhaps in 2 or 3 days we have a good chance for seeing the Northern Lights.
And where in Michigan would be the best places? Certainly we know the UP seems to kind of have the crown for the best place for any and all stargazing. Where else would be good places to see the Northern Lights?
Well, anywhere it's dark. But sometimes if it's a particularly energetic set of Northern Lights, you don't even need it to be dark. I remember a few years ago I was coming out of a grocery store, walking in the parking lot, and I just happened to look up and there was this huge green shimmering curtain above me. Northern Lights have been seen as far south as Texas. It all depends on how energetic the storm is. But generally speaking, a good rule of thumb is the darker the better. So if you go as 20 miles or so away from the nearest city, you'll have the best opportunity to see virtually anything in the nighttime sky.
You know, I hear your enthusiasm, and certainly you have devoted your life to astronomy and to stars. What was it about the stars that drew you in, Michael, right at the beginning?
I spent some of my formative years growing up in Arizona, and I remember when I was 7 or 8, my dad would take my brothers and I out camping and sleeping under the stars, looking up and seeing you know, 10,000 dots in the nighttime sky. It was just awesome. It was inspiring.
And clearly a passion. Do you have any special things happening that we should know about at Cranbrook?
Well, astronomically speaking, we have a bunch of new planetarium programs that are set to debut in early July. We just completed a major renovation of our observatory, and that's open every Friday night, Saturday night, and also on the first Sunday of the month. We have three research-grade telescopes that we make available to the general public, and we will look at any and everything in the nighttime sky. It's computer-controlled, so anything anybody wants to see, we can quickly move the telescopes and point them at that particular object.
I did not realize you had these telescopes available for the public to enjoy.
Oh, absolutely. That's their prime use. Their prime use is for the general public and for school kids who come here on visits.
Michael Narlock, head of astronomy at the Cranbrook Institute of Science in Bloomfield Hills. Thanks so much for sharing your love of stars with us today.
Thank you.